Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency, Credit Canada. Carrying a mortgage on your home it's a big deal. It can be a real financial pressure. And there has been so much going on interest rates over the last couple of years that the renewal process feels especially fraught. But maybe it doesn't have to be. So we're going to spend some time looking at the who, what, when, where, why, and how of the referral process with James Laird. He is the co-CEO of RateHub.ca. Hello there.
Hey, Bruce.
I've had a mortgage for, a couple of decades. So I've been through this process a number of times. Where does one start? I mean, many people know, like, this is going to happen. It's going to happen maybe in the next 3 months, maybe in the next 12 months. It's going to happen. Where does the process begin, in your view?
I think it begins with educating yourself. If it's your first renewal, you want to make sure that you're clear that you're essentially a free agent in sports, where your contract is up with your current team. So you could stick with that team, but you can also go and listen to offers from other teams. So it's an opportunity for you to shop around and compare what the best rate and option for you is out there. And of course, give your existing lender a shot as well. So I think it starts with educating yourself as to, you know, what is this process and what are my options? What are my rights?
RateHub compares rates. It's what you do. Like, it's not only what you do, but it's what you do. What would you say to provide people with some context on just how important that is? Because they may be like, it's 10 basis points. I love my banker. What's the big deal? You and I would probably agree. It's a really big deal. But how would you dimensionalize that for people?
It's a huge deal. It's really one of the reasons why banks still have posted rates versus the rate you actually get. It gives them pricing discrimination so that if you just, sign that renewal letter the first time it comes in, that is going to be at a higher rate than is market. And then you could get from another lender or even from that lender if you kick up a bit of a fuss. So your existing lender absolutely is trying to get you to renew at, something a little higher than market or a lot higher than market. So it's a little frustrating that if you say, I'm just going to be loyal, I trust these, trust my current lender, we have a great relationship, that is going to cost you money. So unfortunately, you do have to put in some elbow grease.
Yeah.
And again, regardless of whether you stick with them or go with a different lender, you do need to kick up a bit of a fuss, shop around, get quotes, educate yourself as to what rates are available for your existing situation.
Now, there is a readiness phase for this renewal. In a perfect world, what are all the things that one can do to improve the success of getting the best possible rate? So, the first thing I can think of, but I know it's not the only one, is the prettiest, nicest, most beautiful credit score you could ever hope to have. So maybe if we start there, but then include what else you do to ensure that that application will be well received.
Yeah, it's not different than when you got the mortgage initially. So it's credit score, it's household income versus expenses, and then it's equity in the property. Those are the ways we judge a mortgage, whether it's when you first purchase the home or at renewal. Now, chances are if you qualified for your mortgage initially when you purchased the property, unless something dramatic has happened in your financial life, the most obvious example would be you had a job and now you don't, or maybe there was two household incomes, now there's one, or you got a little carried away and bought too fancy of a car. Mm-hmm. So unless your income to expense ratio has changed significantly in the household, you should start by probably thinking, I can probably qualify with any lender out there.
Some of our listeners will hear this conversation seconds after it first airs. Others may be listening to it, 6 or 12 months down the road. What advice do you have on the fixed versus variable decision that stands the test of time? Because obviously there's huge things that are going on in the week, the month, when that decision actually has to be made, but what would you say that would extend and be useful over longer periods of time?
In fact, the only advice I would ever give is over longer periods of time, because I think that anyone thinking they can time or guess rates is probably lying to you. So, or they should just be trading bonds and making $1 million a day. If they can do that, that's what they should do. So the decision between fixed and variable, I think, is really based on the household and the consumers first, not the rate environment. So to consider a variable rate, you need to have financial flexibility in the household. You need to have much more buffer income, because a variable, by definition, it can change. And these last 2 years highlight exactly what can happen sometimes with variable rates. They can go up. They don't always go down. At the moment, most experts are saying that rates are expected to come down. But 2 years ago, most experts were saying, and our central bank was saying, rates are going to stay low for a long time. Mm. That didn't turn out to be true. We're always one unknown event away from whatever we currently think dramatically changing. So thinking you know what's going to happen with rates is a hazardous thing to do. So you go with, what type of risk can my household handle? And if the household can handle more risk, meaning you've got some extra income, then you start thinking, okay, maybe I should consider the variable. And the second test is, will I be comfortable in a variable rate? Am I going to wake up nervous every morning, scanning the headlines, wondering what's happening with inflation, GDP, all these things? So you have to be someone who's comfortable with risk and uncertainty not bothering you. And if you're not that person, do yourself a favor and just take a fixed rate, because if you're just going to stay up at night, and quite frankly, you'll probably end up converting to a fixed rate based on some headline that you read sometime into the future. So you really need to be a risk neutral person who's got some extra income floating around to think about the variable rate. Now, if you are that person, variables historically have done well. And the reason for that is through down rate environments, flat rate environments, up rate environments, you are paying a little bit of a premium to pass along the interest rate risk to somebody else in a fixed rate. That's what it is. It's a little insurance policy, and they take a little bit extra because they're guaranteeing you. So you should, it's not much, but there's something in there for the pay to guarantee your rate for a term.
One other dynamic on fixed variable is there is a huge difference in terms of the penalty. So if you're on a variable, it's whatever, it's a couple months interest. If it's a fixed, it can be the price of a car. How do you think about that and factor in the thought that you may move to another city? You might rent, you might, have a marital breakdown. Like, I don't know. How do you factor that in? Because I think people underappreciate the dollars involved of the penalty on breaking a fixed.
Yeah, it's a good point, Bruce. I'm glad you brought it up. The more uncertainty there is in your life, or maybe there is certainty that something could happen soon. You brought up some examples of changing jobs, if you're moving out of the country, of course, relationships either forming or dissolving often cause changes in real estate. There is a big difference in the penalty. The variable rate is always and only 3 months of interest. So in all environments, that is not that obnoxious of a calculation. The fixed rate has an additional test called interest rate differential. And it's the higher of the two. So it's the higher of 3 months of interest or interest rate differential. Interest rate differential becomes a factor when the current market rates are lower than the rate you have in your mortgage. If they're the same or higher, the interest rate differential calculation produces no penalty, and the penalty is simply 3 months of interest. But when rates drop dramatically, there is a big difference between the current market rates and the rates that you're paying. And so there's a calculation. So if you have 4%, the current rates are 2%, That's 2% less. And then you multiply it by your outstanding balance and the number of years remaining, which can become the price of a car. That is something to consider. And, we're often surprised by things that come up in our life that we didn't think were going to happen when we get that mortgage. The data backs that up as well. Even though most people in Canada take a 5-year fixed or variable, the average mortgage lasts in this country about 3.6 to 3.7 years, which shows you that this type of thing happens much more often than all people initially plan on it happening.
I want to sneak in two questions before we go. How do you guide people on assessing the features out there, like payment vacation, lump sum privileges, all those? Because it seems like the more features you add, like anything, the more features you have, the higher the price you will pay. How do you determine which ones are like, I really do need that versus it's going to up the cost for me?
I really lump them into two categories. There's mortgages we refer to as full feature, meaning they have the regular prepayment penalty, prepayment privileges, so the ability to make extra payments. You can break them if you need to and pay a penalty, versus no frills mortgages. And so there's really two broad categories, because within the full feature, there's slight differences, but they're probably going to work for most people. So, one lender might offer a 15% prepayment privilege, one might be 20. In either case, you're probably going to be okay, unless you, have a gangbusters year at work or whatever. But then there are no frills mortgages, which really reduce your ability to pay early or break the mortgage. Some don't allow you to break at all. So you just want to understand what type of, broadly speaking, mortgage am I getting? Because then I find the differences between the two are minor and most people probably won't notice. If they're in a full feature product, it's probably going to be okay.
There are Canadians who will embark on this renewal process. They will do the math with a mortgage professional, and it will be clear either that they can't afford it or that it's a squeaker. And they really are setting themselves up for a really risky period of a couple of years in terms of their ability to make that payment. What questions, tough questions, would you have them ask themselves now, if this is the reality they face?
And I think, Bruce, you do want to get on it early. So no matter when your mortgage renewal is, you can open up a payment calculator and figure out what your payment is going to be. And then you've got to look at the household budget and figure out, okay, how are we going to make this payment? What are we going to cut back on? Because it's going to be something. Ideally, it's just the amount you're saving every month, meaning there's extra money in the household. But that's what we're finding right now, is that unless the income situation, unless someone's lost their job, we're finding household budgets are squeezed, meaning less eating, drinking, extracurriculars, less of those nice to have things, important things that we all really value and enjoy. Unless someone's lost their job, there is the ability to make this mortgage payment. It's painful. What gives me peace of mind is we have had the stress test now for years. So even though people have been paying a lot less, they were stress tested at, 5% or higher. So the money should be there, although difficult trade-offs and decisions are being made. So you need to understand where's the money for this higher payment going to come from.
James, thanks for your insight. I really appreciate it.
Okay. Thanks for having me, Bruce.
James Laird, co-CEO of RateHub.ca, on some things you want to be keeping in mind as you head into your mortgage renewal.
Hi, it's me, your debt. Look, we need to talk. This isn't working. The missed payments, the collection calls, and all those sleepless nights. We need nonprofit debt counseling, and I found the perfect place. Credit Canada Debt Solutions. They're non-judgmental, 100% confidential. They'll negotiate with creditors and even stop interest. Don't you want to rebuild your credit? You deserve better.
Break up with debt. Visit creditcanada.com.